This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
I have noticed over the years that there are some people that I'll just kind of observe, and whenever I look at them, it just seems like things go their way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all ever see people and you're like, things really just kind of go their way. Their family is in order. It seems like they're doing well in their career. It seems like their walk with the Lord is good and strong. It seems that they're doing well. And I tend to think, you know, whenever I see these type of folks, I tend to think, wow, they're really blessed. Now, I got to say, in this room, in this church, there's a lot of people. If I was to make a list, a lot of y'all are on that list because I've really seen God move in your lives. But I also want to say that there may be some of you here today that you're like, Pastor Gene, that's not really my story. I feel like there's a whole lot of room for improvement. If that's you today, I want you to hang on and I want you to listen because I need you to understand that God wants to bless you. We're in our series that we're calling Joseph Dreams to Destiny. And of course, in this series, what we're doing is we're looking at how all of us can get to the destiny that God has for our lives. Every believer has a God-given dream, and that's their calling. And God's also got a purpose for all of us, and that's our destiny. Most believers have the dream, but they never get to the destiny, and it's ultimately because of character issues. Their character cannot support the destiny. And whenever we look at Joseph's life in the Word of God, we'll see that Joseph had a dream at the age of 17, but he was 30 before he ever began to walk in it, and he had to pass all these character tests to ever get there. Now, unfortunately, we can't just take a shortcut. We've got to pass those same tests that Joseph had to pass if we want to ever get to the destiny that God has for us. And believe me, we want to get to that destiny, amen? Listen, just doing the same old thing over and over and over, day after day, it's okay. But God's got so much more for every one of us. And we want to get to that place. So today we're going to hop into Genesis 39. We're going to start at the very beginning of the chapter. I have a lot of scripture for y'all today. Are we okay with the Word of God? I love the Word of God. So we're going to look at a lot of scripture today. You may not be able to keep up. You may just have to take pictures with your phone because we're going to roll through some scripture today. So let's hop into verse 1. If you don't have your Bible, we're going to have it on the screen for you. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Real quick, last week we mentioned that some Midianite traders had bought Joseph, but they came from the line of Ishmael. That's the reason why you see it mentioned Ishmaelites. Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor. Somebody say favor. Favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Y'all see that? The Lord blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Verse 6, thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now last week we ended by talking about how Joseph had been pulled out of the pit and sold to these traders. God spared his life and he was sold to these traders. And so Potiphar purchases him, and ultimately what we see is that Joseph has incredible favor on his life. Last week, he was in the pit, and we talked about the pit test. Now he's in the palace, so today we're going to talk about the palace test. What's very interesting is that he's in Potiphar's house. He's been purchased literally as a slave, but he's got the favor of God all over his life. Did y'all see how many times it said that the Lord was with him and that he prospered? Did we see that? It's very interesting that Potiphar pretty much like gave him the keys and said, run things. I mean, he was like the number two in his house. We'll see in just a minute that Joseph actually spends a season in prison, and God even prospers him in prison, for Pete's sakes. And then after he gets out of prison, he's the number two man over all of Egypt whenever he's back in the palace. So God's hand was on Joseph. But let's look at verse 23 where it talks about his time in prison. It says, the keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper. Can y'all just look at this for a minute? The man's in prison, and he has authority. He's running the prison. He's kind of like what we would call a trustee. Earlier, I thought about a story that I read in a book that Andy Taggart wrote called Mississippi Fried Politics. It's just hilarious, like Mississippi political stories. And back around 1963, Governor Ross Barnett wanted to buy a horse in Arkansas, so he sent a trustee, like, you know, ones that kind of stayed at the governor's mansion, to Arkansas to get the horse. The guy heads north, and he keeps heading north. He had no intention of coming home. He was a prisoner. And so whenever the governor is getting grilled by the media and everybody, and they're asking, why did you send a trustee to Arkansas to pick up a horse by himself? And the governor said, if you can't trust a trustee, who can you trust? Right? I mean, but Joseph obviously could be trusted to run the prison, for Pete's sakes. But let's talk about this. It says the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Can I just ask you a question today? Would that be okay in your life, that whatever you did, the Lord made it prosper? Come on, somebody. Does anybody desire that in their life today? Well, we're going to hop in to this teaching today, but I got to start off with a word that makes some people uncomfortable, but we need to bring some clarity to it. It's the word prosperity. Now, we need to set a few things straight. First of all, this is a bit of a word that sometimes people squirm a little bit with whenever you see this word. And here's the reason why, that there has been this hyper-prosperity teaching that has run through a lot of ministries. And I'm going to say this, I'm not for it. I don't feel like Scripture supports it. But what's happened is a lot of people, they have a negative thought whenever they see the word prosperity. And what's happened in, you know, over time is we've forgotten the biblical meaning of the word prosperity. The biblical meaning of the word prosperity. And maybe you've seen people on TV and it's turned you off. And so all of a sudden this word has turned you off. Listen, we need to go back to what this right here says about it. Amen. Too many times we listen to what people say about a subject and we get turned off by it, but we need to go back to what this says about that subject. And so let's talk about the word prosperity. It's not a bad word. It's not a bad word. The truth is God wants to prosper us in all areas of our life. He wants your health to prosper. At work, he wants you to prosper. He wants your marriage to prosper. He wants your whole family life to prosper, your home to prosper. Now, that's a good thing, right? That's not being greedy or anything like that. That's a good thing. He wants to bless you, listen to me, so that you can bless others. The blessings of God benefit us, but it allows us to bless others as well. And that's important. It's throughout Scripture. But the word prosperity, whenever I talk about the biblical meaning, let's look at it. In Hebrew, the word simply means to push forward, to advance. So in other words, your marriage, I want my marriage to get stronger. Amen? If you're at work, you probably want there to be favor in your workplace, right? Favor with your boss, maybe to be able to be promoted. You want your kids to be walking with the Lord, right? You want their walk with the Lord to be pushed forward, right? So it's not a bad thing. That's the Hebrew says it means to push forward. So we want to see prosperity in our lives in the different areas. And what we're going to do today is we're going to look at like four steps for us to experience God's blessing, for us to experience success, for us to experience prosperity in all that we do, whether it's our health, whether it's our work, whether it's our marriage, career, whatever it is, I want us to look at these four things. Now, as we look at these four steps, as I called them, we're going to kind of look at it backwards. They all link together. Has anybody ever done an escape room before? Some of y'all have done escape rooms. We're not that good at it as a family. We've tried, and I've got to be honest with you, there's no chance we could ever bust out of jail if we ever got thrown into jail. You know how they give you like so many clues? We exhaust every clue they give us, and we're not even halfway through it. Anyway, these steps kind of, you know, in an escape room, a lot of times you have to find a key, and then that opens a door. and then you have to find something else to advance to the next place, right? We've got four of those, and so they all tie together. So I want you to hang with me today. So for instance, for us to be prosperous, we need, first thing is this, God's presence. Everybody say God's presence. Notice that what we read just a little while ago about Joseph, multiple times it mentioned that the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. Now, here's the thing I want us to get today. The key to prospering is the presence of the Lord because, listen to me, God never fails. My God never fails. If you say he's failed you, then you obviously don't know my God. Right? He never fails. And if we're truly walking with God, we're going to prosper because God only wins. He only wins. It's all he does is win. Too many times people feel like there's this spiritual battle, like you got Satan here and you got God here, and like is God going to win or Satan going to win? Let me tell you something. God could snap his finger and Satan would be done with for good. See, we got to understand, some of y'all maybe have forgotten, Satan was a created being. He was a created being. It's not like a Rocky movie where we're hoping that God will pull it out in the end. God only wins. He only wins. And we need the presence of God if we want to see blessing in our life. But a lot of people, they walk out of the presence of God. You may say, what do you mean, Pastor Gene? Is that in the Bible? Yeah. Genesis 4. Whenever Cain killed Abel and the Lord approaches him and asks him about it, Cain did not repent. Genesis 4:16 says he walked out of the presence of God. God was headed one direction, Cain was headed another. And so he walked out of the presence of God, and life was not pleasant for Cain as a result. But whenever you walk with God, I need you to understand today, you're going to see success in your life. Whenever you walk with God. But the opposite is also true. And some of you may be here today and you're like, I'm not 100% sure if God really wants to prosper me. I'm not 100% sure if God really wants to bless me. Well, I came with a lot of scripture today just to show you that he really wants to. Are y'all ready to go today? All right, we're going to start in Genesis 26, verse 12. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and reaped in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. The man began to prosper, and he continued prospering until he became very prosperous. That's a whole lot of prosperity right there, isn't it? Deuteronomy 29:9. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Come on, somebody say all. Just so you know, the redneck definition of that is, there ain't no more. All in all that you do. 2 Kings 18:7, the Lord was with him, talking about Hezekiah. He prospered wherever he went. Wherever he went. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. I need somebody to say all things. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, that means there ain't no more things. In all things, and be in health. I claim that for my life. Just as your soul prospers. Again, God wants you to prosper. God wants to push you forward in your career, in your family, in your health, and all that you put your hands to. Just a thought. I don't know if y'all remembered. I tried to emphasize it whenever I read it. But it talked about the fact that God blessed Potiphar's house for Joseph's sake. We read that just a little while ago. Potiphar, we know, was not a believer. He was not a believer. But because of the favor of God on Joseph's life, Potiphar's house was blessed. I got a quick question for you today. Does your employer believe that he's being blessed because you work for him? Are we working hard for our employer? Is our work ethic, is it good? Or are we, you know, kind of like some not so great employees, right? Because if we're working hard for our employer and if we're walking with the Lord, there's going to obviously be favor on our life. You're going to be the kind of employee that advances. You're going to be the kind of employee that they don't want to lose. Amen? Favor of God on our lives. So the key to prospering is the presence of God. But then we've got to talk about that key that gets us to the presence of God, and that's this, obedience. Somebody say obedience. 1 Samuel 18:14. It says, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. He behaved wisely. In other words, he was obedient. Whenever we look at David's life, he didn't have it all together. As a matter of fact, he made some pretty big goof-ups. But the thing about David is this, is that whenever he messed up, he didn't come up with excuses, he repented. As a matter of fact, whenever the prophet goes to him and tells him that he sinned, David did not argue. He repented, and then he tried to make it right, right? And so he always repented. 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, it says, "Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him." Why was the Lord with David? Because he was obedient. But the Lord had departed from Saul. Why? Because in this part of Saul's life, he had been disobedient. 2 Chronicles 17:3. "Now the Lord was with Jehoshaphat because he walked in the former ways of his father." Jehoshaphat was from the line of David. "The Lord blessed him because he was obedient like David." We get anything out of this today?
Yes.
Deuteronomy 11, verse 26. "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse." The blessing, if, somebody say if.
If
you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today. And the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord. Now we need to clarify just for a minute, okay? This is not a works doctrine that we're talking about today. Not it whatsoever, because we are saved by grace through faith, somebody. If you want to see success in your life, you're going to have to be obedient to the word of God. Amen?
Amen?
It's the truth. And it doesn't mean that you'll never walk through a storm. It doesn't mean that everything will be perfect. But here's what I do know. Whenever I'm obedient, the Lord is going to get me through those storms. Every time he's going to get me through those storms with success. Job 36, verse 11. "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." And then the last verse, just for a few minutes, Proverbs 28:13. "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Will have mercy. And of course, y'all, we believe in grace here. As we mentioned, we're saved by grace. And if it was based on works, every one of us would be in trouble, right? Because we can't do enough. Grace is a gift. Grace can't be earned. I believe in grace, but I fully believe in obedience as well. I fully believe in obedience if I want to walk and be successful, if I want to be blessed. I fully believe that I'm going to have to be obedient to the word of God. And honestly, if I choose to not be obedient, if I choose to walk away from God, then there's a curse.
Right.
Hear me just for a minute. I'm not saying that God puts a curse on you.
Right.
I am not saying that. What I am saying is that we live in a cursed and a fallen world.
Right.
Back around 2012, 2013, there was a horrific hailstorm that hit Rankin County, the Pearl Brandon area. I was up there, my vehicle, unfortunately, was up there, and it was one of these hailstorms that had I not seen it for myself, I would not have believed it. My car was just completely, I mean, it was total, but it was demolished. One dent on the top of my vehicle looked like you dropped a bowling ball from about 20 stories up. I mean, it was awful, and this was just hail. So I get my vehicle, and I try to get to the body shop first, right? Praying that they would not total it, because I didn't want to go through that. I'm doing that whole thing where I'm driving with my head out the window. You know, that's fun. Not for 10 miles, it's not. But all that to say, I get to the body shop, and the dude pretty much looks at me and says, "Oh yeah, we're totaling this thing." You know, but here's what I'm trying to tell you. My vehicle was exposed. A very close friend of mine, his vehicle was tucked away nicely in his garage. And it was covered, and it was protected. Here's what I want you to hear today. Whenever you decide to walk out from the presence of God, you are walking into all kind of elements where things are not going to be pleasant. That fallen world, that cursed world. That's why we need to stay. I love Psalms 91:1. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shelter." Come on, somebody say shelter. The shelter of the Almighty. That's why we need to stay close to the Lord, right? So we're not having to deal with all the mess from this cursed world that we live in. We need to stay in the presence of God. But again, whenever we choose to walk away, we're going to walk into that storm. And we're a lot of people, they just hope that they'll be okay. You're not going to be okay. Stick with the Lord, amen?
Amen.
Stick with the Lord. So we started by saying that the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. And then we went on to say that the key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. So now let's talk about the key to obedience. And that's simply this: faith. It's faith. Now here where we live, there's a lot of folks that do a whole lot of farming, right? I mean, we are in watermelon country here, for Pete's sakes. Let's think about farmers. Whenever they plant seed, they have faith that something's going to come out of the ground after a little while. Because whenever you take seed, dirt, water, sunshine, and some hard work, you're going to have a harvest. Can we agree with that, right? That takes place. So that takes faith for them. I honestly believe that a lot of Christians have more faith in a vending machine than they have in God. My dad used to give this example. If you put in your 2 quarters, as soon as you press that button, what do? You put your hand down here to what? Receive. Somebody say receive. Receive. Because we put something in, and so we see that something's going to come down here, and we're ready to receive it. Here's the thing. If we put in obedience, then we're going to see the blessings of God come. We're going to see the blessings of God come, but it's going to take obedience. It's going to take some work. Sometimes it's not always fun to do the right thing. Sometimes we want to take shortcuts, don't we? But we need to do the right thing. And whenever we're obedient, we're going to see blessings come in our life. And there's different areas that we need to be obedient. For instance, Hebrews 10:25 says that we don't need to forsake the gathering together with fellow believers, which you guys are being obedient this morning by being in the house of God, right? Good job, by the way. Good job. So blessings are going to come in your life. There's other blessings that come, like, for instance, being obedient to prioritize the kingdom of God. Matthew 6:33 says, whenever you seek the kingdom of God and you live righteously, then God's going to basically give you what you need, right? So that's obedience that we need to have. Obedience to forgive others, as Matthew 6:14-15 talks about. The word's very clear that we must forgive others, right? I mean, let's just think about what the Lord has forgiven us for over all the years. And if he's going to forgive us, we need to have his nature and forgive others as well. Amen? Obedience to be faithful, for instance, with our finances. That's Malachi 3:10. But you've got to believe and you've got to have faith. Come on, somebody say faith. That whenever you're obedient, that God's going to bless. But too many don't believe that there are rewards for obedience and consequences for disobedience, but there are. I believe if we actually believed it, then we'd obey all the time and not disobey thinking that we can get away with it. Because I believe too many people do that. I mean, my kids tend to obey whenever they know that there's a reward coming. I mean, I could just say, hey, kids, listen, if you guys will get this place whipped into shape, you know, sometimes, I don't know about y'all, but our house looks like an F4 tornado or whatever just came through it, right? Kids, if y'all can whip this thing into shape, we might go do something, right? Then all of a sudden, magically, I mean, they're like Mr. and Mrs. Clean running through this house, getting things looking good, because they know that their father said, here's a reward, and it was a promise, I'm going to do it if you do this. We've got to be obedient like that. I mean, speaking of this, here's another area that we need to be obedient in, and it's Ephesians 6. Look at what Ephesians 6 says, verse 1. Children, obey. Somebody say obey. Obey. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may have long life. A lot of people, you can ask them about this verse, and you say, what's the promise? And they say that you'll have long life. Listen, that's part of the promise. Did you see there where it says that it may be well with you? And just so you know, don't just look at your kids and think that it only applies to them. If you have parents, it applies to all of us, no matter what size you are. Amen? Honor your parents. But again, whenever you do this, things will go well with you. Whenever you're obedient, things will go well with you. And again, it talks about long life as well. But I do believe that some forget that part about it going well. So we need to always remember that. So again, the key to prospering is the presence of the Lord. The key to the presence of the Lord is obedience. The key to obedience is faith. And now we're going to start to wrap it all up and put it all together. So what's the key to faith? And this one should be easy for us today. And it's simply this: hearing the Word of God. Hearing the Word of God. Now, you may have thought to yourself, Pastor Gene, why is it that it's not doing the Word of God? Well, Romans 10:17 says this: so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it means that we've got to get the Word of God down deep in us. We need to hear the Word of God constantly. Constantly. So that means that we need to be, for instance, listening to sermons. That means that we need to be reading the Word. That means that we need to be memorizing Scripture. That means that we need to be reading additional books based on the Word of God. What we need to do is just try to take our consumption of the Word up. There needs to be more of it. Can we just get real for a minute? There are too many believers out here that they consume some Word on Sunday morning at either 8:45 or 10:30 a.m. and they're not consuming anything else during the week. But they are consuming a whole lot of podcasts that have nothing to do with the Word of God. They're consuming a whole lot of TV stuff that probably isn't the most positive on the, positive stuff out there. They're consuming a lot of music on the radio. And by the way, Regina said the other day, she's like, I had a country music station on in the background somewhere where she was. She said, every song talked about drinking, for Pete's sakes. Here's the thing. We consume all this other stuff, but then we start to walk through storms. We don't know what the Word of God even says about our situation or how we can apply the Word of God to it. Why? Because we've not been hearing the Word of God as much as we should. So we need to be memorizing Scripture. We need to be reading the Word of God. We need to maybe find some podcasts that we can listen to that are positive. Come on, somebody. Find you some good stuff to listen to. Amen. But here's what I want you to understand. Why we need to hear the Word of God. Why we need to hear the Word of God is very simple. Because the Word of God has the power to change your life. It has the power to change your life. So many times we read books, self-help books, about how we can turn our life around. This right here, do it better than anything. It'll do it better than anything. The Word of God is living. It's active. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. Somebody needs to hear me today. It became flesh. It dwelt among us. The Word of God was His name. Heaven and earth have passed away. Heaven and earth have passed away, but His Word never will. It has power to change lives. We need to learn the Word of God. Learn the Word of God. So again, if you want to be successful, we talked about these four keys. Now, what I want to do is I want to flip those keys and kind of do them in the right order, and let's walk through that real quick. So for instance, whenever we hear the Word of God, it's going to build our faith. Does that make sense? As we hear the Word of God, as we get the Word of God in us, it's going to begin to build our faith. And then that faith is going to then produce obedience in us, because we know that whenever we do the right thing, that blessings will come. So that faith will produce obedience. And in the process, that obedience, what it does is it draws us closer to the Lord. And then here's what's great. Whenever we're drawing closer to the Lord, we're beginning to walk with Him, we're fellowshipping with the Lord, then what we're going to see is that God's going to bless us. And I use the word up here, true prosperity. Listen to me just for a minute. We need to be really clear this morning. I'm not talking about your bank account. True prosperity. Let me tell you what the blessings, the true blessings of God, the true prosperity from God is. It's not necessarily about you having a Rolls Royce. It's not about you having a boat. It's not about you having six figures in your bank account. It's not about any of that. The true blessings of God are having children that walk with the Lord. Let me tell you, I got two, and a lot of y'all got a lot more than me. I believe that probably your heart and my heart, our cries are that our kids will know God. Because as we know, there's a real heaven, there's a real hell, and we want every one of our family to be together whenever our time comes. Amen. True blessings, true prosperity from the Lord is your kids knowing the Lord. It's you and your spouse having a strong marriage. that you can weather storms together, because storms will hit. But once again, God will bring you through it if you stick with Him. Amen? If we stay in the presence of the Lord. True prosperity is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life, to where you are just growing just leaps and bounds in the Lord, and He's just revealing Himself to you, and you're knowing Him, and you're having this intimacy with the Lord like you never thought was possible. And we have heard so many testimonies about what God's doing in so many of y'all's lives, and how just He's just revealing so much to you. True prosperity, true blessings from the Lord is bodies that are healthy. Come on, somebody. Bodies that are healthy. It's true. Your needs being met as well. It's prayers being answered, that whenever you pray for a situation, that you know what the Word of God says, and so you pray with faith, knowing that God will come through, reminding God of His Word. That's true blessings, that's true prosperity from the Lord. So if you've always thought of it as a financial thing, just flush that down the toilet. That is not what it's about. God wants to push you forward. He wants to advance you in all that you put your hands to, in the same way that He did it with Joseph. We also read about Him doing it in Isaac's life as well. He wants to do that for every person here today. He wants to do that for every one of His children. Now, I've got to talk about that just for a minute. You're His child. He wants the best for you. My kids, think about your kids. My kids, I want the best for them, right? I want them to do better than I've done. I want them to have bodies healthier than mine. I want, you know, for instance, I told the first service, Cash is running cross country, and so we run together a good bit. Currently, I'm faster than he is. Currently. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be faster than he is. But I know, like, what my personal bests are on certain distances. I want him to blow me out of the water. Why? Because he's my kid. Audrey's a great student. Her mom was a great student. Her dad, not so much. In our marriage, obviously, she got the brains and I got the looks, obviously. But listen to me. In the same way that Audrey is a great student and Regina was a phenomenal student, we want Audrey to even do better. We want her to advance. We want her to just do better than what we've done. In every area of their life, we want to see them blessed, right? That's what God wants for you too. It's not a thing about dollars and cents. That's not it whatsoever. He wants to see you blessed because you're His child. And I want somebody to hear me today. Every time that He sees you, He smiles. He's so in love with you. And He wants to bless you. A while back, we bought a trampoline for the kids. Putting together a trampoline will test your faith, in case you didn't know. But we got it in, and it was one of these things, the kids were just so wanting to get on it, and so we put this thing together, like, in the dark. We had some floodlights on in the back of the house, and I may not have been very pastoral while I was putting this thing together. I was not ministering to my kids, that's for sure. But we got it done, right? We got it done. And of course, the kids, it was pitch black. Of course, the kids wanted to get on it. Audrey especially was the one wanting this. She does tumbling. She got on that trampoline, and I started hearing her giggling and her laughing. All the frustration that I had dealt with, all of a sudden, it became a big smile. And I would have put that thing together 100 more times just to hear her laughing and to see the smiles on her face. Listen to me. He's so in love with you. He wants to see a smile on your face. He wants to see you happy. He wants to see you blessed. It's the heart of the Father. It's His nature for you. Come on today, if you would, just bow your head. Let's just have a time with the Lord. Just close your eyes for a moment. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You just love us so much, Your children. Lord, that You want the best for us. God, You want us blessed. Lord, we see it in the Word time and time and time again. We just read it today, Lord, how You have blessed Your children, God. Lord, I just speak today that as a church, Father, that we are hearing the Word of God. Lord, that we filter out a lot of the trash that we just consume throughout the week. And Lord, we put more of a focus on Your Word, God. Lord, I pray that as a result, then what we're going to find is that our faith is built. Lord, then we're going to be obedient. God, and that's just going to draw us closer and closer and closer to you, Lord. Lord, we know that whenever we walk in that obedience, God, Lord, as we're walking with you, that Lord, blessings are going to come from you because, Lord, it says it in your word. And so, God, today we thank you for that. Lord, I just speak that over this house, God, to hear your word. Lord, to have faith. Lord, to be obedient and to walk with God Almighty. Father, I just speak that today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.